Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times bestselling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello there, and welcome to this Monday edition of Derek Prince Legacy Radio. My name is Stephen Mansfield, and it's great to have you with us. Today marks kind of a milestone for us because we've been on the air for a month in this new format, this new 30-minute format in which we're presenting Derek Prince teaching and taking time to digest it and have guests and apply it to what's going on out there in the real world. We're really excited about what we're hearing, what's happening, about the opportunity to bring this teaching to a new generation. Now, we'd love to hear from you. We want this to be a two-way discussion, so to speak, a dialogue. And so if you have any feedback for us, you want to let us know how this is impacting you, or you wanted to give feedback in some way, we'd love to hear from you. Log on to derekprince.org. And by the way, while you're there, you'll also be able to hear the other shows that we've done, find out information about podcasts, and always, of course, we're offering a free resource. Today now, Derek is picking up the second week of a great series on spiritual warfare. In fact, today the title is Our Defensive Armor, the Helmet of Salvation. He is going to say some fascinating things about the mind, about the way the mind affects people in ministry, about the pressures against the mind from the kingdom of darkness. It is a very important teaching. In fact, he's going to say some things about pastors and about people in leadership that are so important. You know, I urge you to call your pastor, I urge you to get him on the website and just make sure that people in leadership around you are aware of this material. Well, listen, enough from me for now. Let's get to the teaching, Our Defensive Armor, the Helmet of Salvation.
So far in my talks, I've dealt with four of these items of defensive armor: the girdle of truth, the breastplate of salvation, the shoes of the preparation of the gospel, the shield of faith. Today I'm going to deal with the fifth item of equipment, the helmet of salvation. I'll be sharing some precious truths concerning this that I learned from my own conflicts. When I look back on these conflicts, I'm reminded of the words of Paul in Romans 8:37. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. What does it mean to be more than conquerors? I believe it means this: that we not only win the battle, but we actually come out of it with more than we had when we went into it. That's to be more than conqueror, and I've proved this many times in my own experience. Dealing with the breastplate, we saw that the breastplate protects the heart. Now that we're looking at the helmet, what does the helmet protect? Obviously, the head. What does the head represent? The mind. So we're talking now about a helmet that protects our minds. In our talks last week, we saw that the battlefield on which this entire spiritual war is being fought out is the mind of humanity. Because the mind is the battlefield, it's obvious that we need to be particularly careful to protect our own minds. Of course, you've probably understood by now that I was a hospital attendant in World War II, so I know a certain amount about this from experience. In the natural, a person wounded in the head can no longer make effective use of the rest of his equipment. He may be a very brave and efficient soldier. He may have excellent equipment, but when he's wounded in the head, it becomes very difficult for him to make effective use of his ability and his equipment. Now, in the spiritual, this is true with many Christian workers. And I'm saying this from personal observation. I've been privileged to be associated in ministry at different times and in different places with many wonderful servants of God, both men and women, missionaries, pastors, and others. I think particularly of missionaries who are usually under extreme spiritual pressure. I can look back on some missionaries that I worked with in different places who were dedicated, qualified men and women of God with great ability and a real calling. but many times they allowed themselves to be wounded in the head. I mean this, that they allowed themselves to become prey to depression or to suspicion, to mistrust of other Christian workers. And this problem in their minds prevented them from being the kind of effective missionaries and servants of God that they could have been. Being wounded in their heads, they couldn't use the rest of their equipment. I learned a great deal about this from my own personal experience. For many years in the ministry, I had a tremendous personal struggle with depression. I know exactly what depression is like. When I talk, those who've experienced it always know it. With me, it was like a kind of dark gray cloud, a kind of mist that settled down over me, over my head and my shoulders, shut me in, shut me off, made it difficult for me to communicate with others, gave me a sense of hopelessness. And although in many ways I am a gifted and qualified servant of the Lord, I got that impression. Others can, but you can't. You'll never make it. You're going to have to give up. I struggled with this depression for a good many years. I did everything I could. I prayed, I fasted, I sought God, I read the Bible. Then one day God gave me a revelation that solved my problem. I was reading Isaiah 61, verse 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. When I read that phrase, the spirit of heaviness, something leapt within me. I said, that's my problem. That's what I need to be delivered from. I read other passages of Scripture on deliverance. I prayed a simple prayer of faith, and God supernaturally delivered me from that spirit of heaviness. But then I saw that I had to keep my mind protected. I saw that I needed some special protection for my mind. I was familiar with the passage in Ephesians 6. I said to myself, that must be the helmet of salvation. Then I said, does that mean I have the helmet because I'm saved? Is it automatic? And I saw that couldn't be so, because Paul was writing to people who were Christians, and he said, put on the helmet of salvation. I was directed to a parallel passage in 1 Thessalonians 5:8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. And when I read that phrase, the hope of salvation, I had an instantaneous revelation from the Holy Spirit. I saw that the protection of the mind is hope. The protection of the heart is faith. We often get these mixed up. Biblical faith is in the heart. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Biblical faith is the breastplate that protects the heart. But the protection of the mind is hope.
What a powerful image for us to remember. The idea that Christians often sustain head wounds. You know, I was a pastor for just over 20 years, in fact, and I can certainly confirm what Derek said, that forces like depression or suspicions of other people or other kinds of mental dysfunctions, spiritual mental dysfunctions, really do affect Christians and affect especially people in leadership. You have to have the helmet of salvation. In fact, I'll take it a little bit further. I believe that it's faulty thinking. It's almost perverted ways of thinking. It's slanted thinking, it's deformed thinking that often defeats Christians. They get weird things in their heads, things that the enemy has planted that foment and grow and stew, and as a result, they begin to think and perceive reality in weird ways, and it produces their destruction. Time and again, as a pastor, I would sit down with a Christian who had made an absolute mess out of their lives, and I would find out that they had absorbed some perverted, odd view of reality that caused them to make horrible decisions. Well, there's so much more ahead to help us answer this very kind of problem as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
There's only one thing worse than having a deadly enemy, having one and not knowing it. Now, in a new book from the writings of Derek Prince, you'll find one of the most comprehensive explorations of Satan's strategies and tactics you will ever read. In Lucifer Exposed, The Devil's Plan to Destroy Your Life, you'll gain powerful insights into the enemy's schemes and discover the spiritual keys to thwarting those attacks and walking in victory. This brand new book from Derek Prince will help you uncover Satan's strategic plan to destroy your life. In Lucifer Exposed, you'll find how to disarm the devil now so you can experience success in every area. To order your copy of Derek's new book, Lucifer Exposed, for only $12.95, call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Stop his plan. Order Lucifer Exposed. Call 800-448-3261 or visit us online at derekprince.org.
We are back with Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. We're in a series on spiritual warfare and specifically on the defensive aspect of our armor. And Derek is about to talk to us about depression and about staying delivered from depression. This is a very important topic for our age. Let's listen.
I was directed to a parallel passage in 1 Thessalonians 5:8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. And when I read that phrase, the hope of salvation, I had an instantaneous revelation from the Holy Spirit. I saw that the protection of the mind is hope. The protection of the heart is faith. We often get these mixed up. Biblical faith is in the heart. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Biblical faith is the breastplate that protects the heart. But the protection of the mind is hope. We need to see the connection between faith and hope. It's stated clearly in Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the underlying basic reality on which hope is built. When we have valid faith, then we have valid hope. When we don't have valid faith, we may not have valid hope either. Our hope may be mere wishful thinking. But when we have a real foundation of faith, on that foundation, we can build a valid hope, and that's the protection of our mind. I'd like to define hope very simply, according to Scripture. Hope is a quiet, steady expectation of good, based on the promises of God's Word. In a sense, it's continuing optimism. That's the protection of the mind. Hope, optimism, an optimistic attitude that always sees the best, will not give way to depression and doubt and self-pity. There's one sufficient basis for hope in the Word of God. It's Romans 8:28. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. If we really know that everything that happens in our lives is being worked together by God for our good, then there never is a reason for pessimism. Every situation is always a reason for optimism. Optimism is the helmet. While we keep it on, our minds are protected against all Satan's subtle attacks, against doubt, discouragement, self-pity, mistrust, and so on. When the Holy Spirit showed me that the helmet to protect our minds is hope, He preached, as it were, a kind of sermon to me, an instantaneous sermon. I suddenly brought together a number of passages of the New Testament, and all of them dealt with hope. Let me share just a few of them. Romans 8:24. We are saved by hope. What does that mean? No hope, no salvation. Hope is an essential part of our experience of salvation. Contrast the condition of the unsaved in Ephesians 2:12. Paul says this, "Before you knew Christ, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world." See those three things: without Christ, without hope, without God. That's the condition of the lost. It should never be the condition of the Christian. If we have Christ, then we have hope and we have God. Again, in Colossians 1:27, Paul says, "To whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles." What's the real mysteries, the secret of the gospel, the real purpose of God? Paul goes on to say, "Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." See what that means? If Christ is in you, you have hope. If you don't have hope, it's just as if Christ isn't in you. I don't mean you're a lost soul, but I mean that you're not living in the experience of salvation. Hope in your mind is an essential part of your salvation experience. In Hebrews 6, 17 through 20, there are two beautiful pictures of hope. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. See the pictures there of hope? The first is an altar. Under the old covenant, the altar was the place of protection from the avenger of blood. When you fled to the altar, you were safe. The writer of Hebrews says, when all the precious are against us, flee to the altar. Catch hold of the horns of the altar and let nothing pull you away. And the altar is hope. And then he says, hope is like an anchor that reaches out of time into eternity, into the very presence of God. In this world, we're like a little vessel on the sea. Everything around us is temporary, impermanent, unreliable, changeable. There's nothing to give us security and stability. If we're to have security and stability, we need an anchor that reaches out of time into eternity and fastens in the rock of ages. That anchor is hope. When we have hope, we're anchored. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews says finally in Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Keep on hoping. Don't give up hope. Be an optimist. It's the protection of your mind.
What a great sentence to remember. Optimism is the helmet. I love the idea that Derek focuses on hope, focuses on the positive attitude. You know, we have so much heaviness and darkness that comes against us in this age. It's great to know that part of our armor against the onslaught of evil is the helmet of salvation rooted in hope, optimism, and a positive attitude that sees victory coming in the future. There's much more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
On more than one occasion, Derek expressed his strong desire that this ministry continue and grow beyond his homegoing, right up until the return of our Lord. Few things meant more to him than the knowledge that the truths he spent his life proclaiming would continue to be proclaimed among the nations. He poured himself out to reach the unreached, to teach the untaught, and to see God's people grow to maturity in the world. And so will we. At Derek Prince Ministries, we're honoring Derek's life and his wishes by carrying on. And as a dear friend of this ministry, we're hoping you will do the same. Why? Because the truth is, the passing of Derek Prince didn't mark an end for Derek Prince Ministries. It marked a new beginning. But to succeed, we will need your help. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or visit our secure website at derekprince.org. Please make the most generous gift you can, and be assured your gifts will be used prayerfully and prudently to keep the teaching of Derek Prince coming to you and others. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or visit us on the web at derekprince.org.
God is faithful. The Bible is to be trusted. I haven't put my faith in something that's unreal and insubstantial. I've put my faith in something that will stand every test. The faithfulness of God, the love of God, and the truth of Scripture.
Thank you for standing with us.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and we are in a series with Derek Prince on spiritual warfare. Today, we've been hearing about defensive armor, the helmet of salvation. Now, let me remind our listeners, all of you, that I had the opportunity, the wonderful privilege of writing the biography of Derek Prince. And I spent hours and hours listening to him and interviewing him and interviewing people who knew him. One of the things that I came to respect about Derek's ministry is that the truths that he teaches us, came out of his own crises, his own challenges, his own battles to master his soul, so to speak. And I was very moved by the story of his life and the path of it, his life when it came to the issues of loneliness and depression. That's what Derek was talking to us about in that last part of his teaching. Derek, though many people would not have ever guessed it about him, those who knew him anyway, suffered from horrible battles against depression. He had been abandoned early in his life, essentially by his parents, who were assigned in the British Army in the Far East, or actually in India, and left Derek in England with his grandparents. And even though that was fairly common in the day, it really scarred Derek and left him with a nagging sense of loneliness that frankly, he battled all of his life. Later in his life, especially during his Cambridge years, this was before he was a Christian, he suffered battles with depression. He felt darkness around him. He even wrote a poem that we have in the biography about there being a winter in his soul. I'm not trying to be a downer by sharing all of this negative about him. I'm trying to say that when Derek became a Christian, he realized that he had to battle against those forces that had dominated his soul previously in his life. And yet now, as a Christian, he began to understand that the Word of God gave him the tools to battle against these forces that had really sought to destroy him. In fact, I conclude in the biography that had God not intervened in his life, probably Derek would have tended towards suicide. That's just not my conclusion. That's something he said to me. And so once he became a believer, he began to don the armor of God. He began to understand the power of God's word. And he especially began to understand the nature of the battle of the mind, which he describes in terms of the helmet of salvation in this teaching. And it was beautiful to see how he was set free, how he would begin to realize that just because he felt darkness and heaviness and kind of a blurring of mine didn't mean that he needed to accept it, that it was something that could be rejected, like rejecting a FedEx package at the front door of your house. He simply said, I don't accept that. I don't receive that. I'm going to walk in hope. I'm going to walk in the optimism that God gives me through his word. And so this is what excites me about these teachings. Derek didn't sit down as a scholar and just craft some teachings out of the scriptures. Derek time-tested these teachings. He knew what it was to have the dark night of the soul. He knew what it was to have to battle these demons, really is what they are, of depression and oppression. And you know, as I've told you before, I pastored for many, many years, and so I'm keenly aware of how much depression besets the people of God. You know, it's not the kind of thing we like to talk about very much, but many, many Christians are taking medication for depression. Many Christians, despite the fact they may be thrilled and worshiping with passion on Sunday morning, are wrestling with depression and these emotional dysfunctions that come against us. And here at Derek Prince Ministries, we don't believe that those are only demons or only spiritual. Sure, we have chemical issues. Sure, we have issues of the body that need to be dealt with. But Derek's life is testimony to the reality that many times there's victory over these forces through the power of God's word and through the power of the optimism and the hope that the helmet of salvation offers us. Let me urge you to listen to this program again. If you are suffering from these forces, you know, there's a statistic or a bit of information that comes from psychologists. They tell us that we need to hear a one-hour teaching 7 times before we hear every single word. The reason for that is that we're often distracted. Something that the speaker says triggers our own thoughts. And so we really need to hear teachings that are significant for us over and again. And you can do that if you'll log on to derekprince.org. You'll find this teaching. You'll find other teachings in this series. You can listen to them there online. You can figure out or learn about podcasts from what we say on the website. And also, there's a free resource for you called Expelling Demons. Great for this time of year, especially as we head into Halloween. Expelling Demons, a free gift just for you. Well, listen, it's time for us to go. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, thank you for being with us. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and we certainly hope that you'll join us tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to order Derek's new book, Lucifer Exposed, for only $12.95. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261.
In Canada, call 888-737-0771. And remember, you can get a free copy of Derek's booklet, Expelling Demons, when you call. It's our gift to you for spending time with us today. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can order securely online, anytime, at DerekPrince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at DerekPrince.org. That's DerekPrince.org.